Good afternoon. If you would, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Most of you will realize that this is where we left off in the Bible studies on Sunday mornings. We've been going through the book of Acts. I know myself, I've learned so much going through this book. It's been a blessing to me, I know that. Acts chapter 15, now a little background here on what's going on. Paul and Barnabas just got back from their first missionary journey. And you see in verse 26, it says, "And then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled." So they got back into Antioch, and then on verse 27 of chapter 14, it says, "And when they were come, and they gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples." And then chapter 15 starts. And if you read the book of Acts, you'll see that, especially in Paul and Barnabas's journeys here, that certain men always came around. There's always certain men showing up and confronting them, bringing up false doctrine, causing them to be stoned and run out of town. There's always certain men showing up. Well, here in chapter 15, it says, "And certain men," and we've talked about this word "certain" before. This word "certain" shows the providence of God. It does. These were certain men. Certain men. It says up here in verse 8, of chapter 14, it says, "And there sat a certain man at Lystra." And we talked about that. This certain man at Lystra, that man was certain to be there. Listen, there is a certain time for God's certain people to be certainly called. They will be called. They will be certainly called. They will be. And they will be certainly saved. There's no question about it. That's what this word "certain" means. And there was a certain man here in chapter 15, which came down from Judea, and they taught the brethren and said, "Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." Can you imagine if someone came in this building this morning, this afternoon, and stood up here before you and said that to you? I would imagine that we would all look like a bunch of cats that just gotten, a dog just came up to us. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? You've got to be circumcised. You've got to keep the law to be saved. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Now watch what happens. Verse 2 says, "When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them." I bet they didn't. I bet they didn't. I bet there was a good ruckus and commotion going on here in the church when they said these things. It says, "They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem and unto the apostles and elders about this question." So they decided amongst themselves that they'd go to Jerusalem and talk to Peter and the apostles about what these men had said. Verse 3 says, "And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phinehas and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren." And we see this happening over and over. These certain men show up in Paul and Barnabas' life. They shove them out of town. They kick them out of town. And what happens? The gospel is spread. And great joy is spread. So this persecution and this false doctrine that these people brought up really just caused great joy in the church. It really did, because it spread the gospel even more. And this is the power of God at work in the church. Verse 4 says, "And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. And there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses." Verse 6, "And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter." Now, it's an amazing thing for me to believe that they would even consider this. That they brought this up. But this was a delicate issue at this time in the church. It really was. And they got together to consider this thing. Verse 7, "And when there had been much disputing," Oh, and is this not the main source of disputing in the Christian church today? The difference between law and grace? Is it not? Is it not where almost all lines are drawn in the Christian church? Is law and grace. It is. If you believe in grace, you believe in grace alone. You truly do. You have to. It is by grace and grace alone. And it is when law is brought into it in any form, we're going to have disputing. We are. We're going to have disputing. And it goes on to this day. And it says, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. You remember where Peter had been called by God to go down to Cornelius and his band down there and preach the gospel to him. And he had went down there and preached the gospel to that group of Gentiles, and the Holy Spirit had come down upon them. What a miraculous thing this was. Well, this is what he's talking about here. Verse 8, it says, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And he put no difference between us and them. There is no difference. There is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there is no difference if we're in Christ. No difference between us and them. Purifying their hearts by faith. What I believe he's talking about here is purifying the hearts by faith. This was a circumcision of the heart that had happened to these people. It wasn't just an outward fleshly circumcision. This was a circumcision of the heart. This was a work that was done in the hearts of these people, converting them. That's what we're looking for. That's what we need. Verse 10 says, now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? In verse 11, this will be our text. But we believe, now listen to these words, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the grace that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you have so freely bestowed your love upon us, Lord, that we have found mercy and have found grace in your sight, dear Lord, because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary. Lord, we thank you for this. Lord, we know that we in no other way would have ever been able to obtain eternal life, that no matter what we tried to do in this life, working out our salvation, Lord, or doing anything that could be pleasing in your sight, Lord, we know that these things are all filthy rags in your sight. But it is only by the grace of God that we're saved, Lord. And we thank you for your wondrous love that you bestowed upon us. Lord, may your name be glorified and honored today in this message. And Lord, may we see more of you. Lord, we pray. Thank you so much again for all you've done for us. It is in your dear Son's name we ask these things. Amen. But we believe, that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. That's the Apostles' Creed, isn't it? But we believe, That is our creed. This is what we believe. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. You kids, I remember when I was in school, and I'd be sitting in the hallway or something, we'd be listening to kids talking about religion. And one of them would be talking to another one, and they would say, well, what do you believe? And I remember them saying, well, go ask David. He believes the same thing we believe. And I'd look over and say, no, we don't believe the same thing you believe. No, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. That's what we believe. And you children, what a wonderful verse for you to memorize, for you to get and put in your hearts, that when someone comes up and they were to ask you, what do you believe? That you could say that with all honesty and sincerity in your hearts. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. What a wonderful testimony. What a wonderful thing to say. Listen, these Jews, these certain men who said, you got to be circumcised. You got to be this. You got to be that. You got to be something else.
No, Peter said, no. No, we believe. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. And there's going to be men that come up to us and they're going to say, what about baptism? You left a few things out. Okay, that's a good verse and all, but you left a couple things out. What about baptism? Uh-uh. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Well, what about works? What about human merit? What about free will? What about these things? No. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Well, what about denomination? You got to be a Baptist to be saved. You got to be a Presbyterian to be saved. You got to be. What about church apostasy and all these things, the church lines and all these things that happen? No, we believe through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. That's what we believe. Do you not see that adding anything at all to this verse takes away from the grace of God? It takes away from Christ. Those who believe in baptismal regeneration, do you know what you're saying? Do they know what they're saying? They're saying, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and baptism, we shall be saved. You've just made the grace of God of no effect. That's what you've done. Turn over to Galatians again. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Let me show you something. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Anything added to the grace of God is law. It is. Listen, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Oh, stand fast in that. If there is anything that will cause dissension and dispute in this church, it's going to be that. If someone comes in this church and says that you have to have something plus grace to equal salvation. Oh, man, we better stand up and fight for that. We have to. We have to. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. This is not just talking about outward circumcision. This is talking about keeping of the law in any form. If we think that the keeping of the law in any form in our lives is going to merit salvation for us, then we've made grace of none effect. We have. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Ye are fallen from grace. It's all of grace. It's all of grace. Oh, there's going to be people stand up. Oh, they are. What about the Mass? What about the rubric? What about the priests and the Pope and the confessions? What about all these things? No, we believe. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. That's what we believe. Oh, there has never been, listen to me, there has never been a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl that has ever been saved by any other way than by grace. Never has been. Never will be. They won't be. It's all of grace. It's all of grace. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Well, there's four things quickly this afternoon. There's four things I want to go over here. And I want you kids especially to listen to these things, because when you are witnessing to someone and they ask you what you believe and you say this thing, you say, I believe, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. I want you to remember four things about this, about what you're saying. Number one, I want you to remember the fountain of grace, where grace came from, where it came from. Number two, I want you to remember the necessity of grace. Number three, I want you to remember the reason for grace. And number four, I would like for you to remember when you say these things, the effect of grace, the effect of grace. All right, number one, the fountain of grace. When we stand before someone and we say, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. We must remember the fountain of grace. What are we saying here? Well, we're saying this. We believe that there is a God. That's what we believe. You say, well, that's
Pretty elementary there, Sherlock. There's a God. All right? Well, I believe this, okay? That what people believe, that you will see it in their lives. You will. I remember when Y2K happened. You guys remember that? Everybody's sitting around watching, waiting for the power to go off. Okay? And we were all sitting on our couches and we were waiting. And they said that all the power was going to go off and all these things were going to happen. And people believe this. I think we believed it. You know, people had their bathtubs filled up with water. There was evidence that they believed that this was going to happen. People were buying canned food and breads and they were getting their end of the world plans together. And everybody thought everything, this was going to happen. Listen, if we were to go around in Christendom today and look at the churches, we talked about that a little bit earlier in the service this morning. But if you went around in churches today and looked around a little bit, I just wonder how much evidence you would find of people truly believing that there was a God. You know, sometimes we look at the Puritans and we look at these men who lived back in the early days of America. And we look at them, we say, oh, they were a little legalistic. They were a little bit on the legalistic side. And they very well could have been a little bit, but I believe something about these people. I believe that they had a very strong belief that there was a God. There is a God. They did. That made all the difference in their lives. They believe there's a God. And I'm not talking about just any God. I'm talking about the God of the Scriptures. I'm talking about the God who formed the heavens and the earth with a word. That's the God I'm talking about. I'm talking about a God who is omnipresent, like we talked about this morning. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. David said, I could descend down in the deepest parts of the ocean and you're there. I could ascend into the heavens and you're there. There is not one minute speck or particle of matter in this world that God is not in. He's not there. There's not one farthest reaches out in the universe where God is not there. He is everywhere. That's the God of the Scripture. That's what we believe. We believe in a God who's omniscient. That God who is everywhere, He can see all things. He knows all things. He said, well, how does He know my thoughts? Because He's there. He's there. He knows them before you think them. He does. He's there. And that God who is not only omniscient, and a God who's not only omnipresent, but He's also omnipotent. He's all-powerful. All power belongs to Him. It is by Him we move. It is by Him we have our being. If it wasn't for His power, we'd die right now. We would. The reason why you're breathing the breath you just took is because of Him. It is. And with the snap of His fingers, you could be done breathing too. He could. He is omnipotent. And He is sovereign. We talked about that too. Now, Dad took my notes again. Sovereign. Sovereign over all things, including the will of men. That's something that most people wouldn't say. It isn't, but He is. He's sovereign even over the will of men. He is. Huh. And He's also a God of justice. This same God who is everywhere. This same God who sees all things. This same God who is omnipotent and sovereign. This same God is a God of justice. He is. And He demands things. He demands perfection. He demands holiness. He demands righteousness. He says, who shall stand in my presence but he who has clean hands and a pure heart? Be perfect even as I am perfect. Be holy even as I am holy. That's what our God demands of His people. All right? But He is also a God of love. He is. He's a God of love. Before the foundation of the world, He chose a people out of love. He chose a people. He did. Oh, this is the God we worship. This is the God I want you to remember when you say these things. We believe. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. I want you to remember the God of the Bible, the God that we worship. All right, number two, the necessity of grace. This is the next thing I want you guys to remember. The necessity of grace. Listen, we believe that all men are born into this world. Men, women are born into this world
with a never-dying soul. We believe that. We do. I listened to a good sermon. Mike gave it to me. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. It's a good one. He said something very good. He said what death is it's the separation of this outward body from the soul. That's what it is. And the soul is never dying. It's never dying. This flesh is going to go in the ground and rot, but your soul is going to live forever. And it's going to live somewhere. It will live forever, though. It will. We have a never-dying soul. And that soul that we are born into this world with, it is a fallen soul. It's fallen. And it's depraved. We believe in total depravity. Total depravity. That's what we believe in. We believe in that. Genesis 2, verse 17, it says, "The day that ye eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that day ye shall surely die." They ate of it, and they surely died. They did. And we died too. Right then and there, the souls of men died. Not just physically, but we died spiritually right there. Came dead to God, spiritually speaking. That's when total depravity took root. Right there. It did. Oh, the justice of God, it demands perfection. The justice of God demands holiness. It demands righteousness. That's what the justice of God demands. And here our souls sit in depravity and wickedness and violence. I know the way most people would look at the depravity of soul. And they think of a white sheet, you hang it up over a clothesline. And you stand back and you dip your fingers in a bucket of oil and you just fling it on the sheet. There's a few little specks of oil on that sheet. That's the way the majority of the world would look at depravity. We hear on movies and on television shows and all the time, you hear this, there's good in everybody. There's good in everybody. That's false. No, there's not good in everybody. There ain't good in anybody except the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only good there is. You don't want to know, you want to get a good picture of the soul that you were born with? You want to get a good picture of that? You take that sheet off that line and you find a 50-gallon drum of oil and you start dipping that sheet in that oil. Just keep dipping it and dunking it and dunking it and dunking it. And then you take and you throw that big old oil-soaked sheet over that line and you take a look at it. That is your soul before God outside of Christ. That is total depravity. That's what it is. And it's dripping off of us. Wickedness and vileness and wretchedness. That's the depravity of man. That's what it is. You say, how is that sheet ever going to become white? How that sheet has to be perfect. It has to be spotless. Our souls have to not have one speck of darkness found on them to be able to stand before a thrice holy God and be justified. How is that sheet ever going to become white? It's going to take a miracle. It's going to take a miracle. It is. Your mother will tell you that. For anything oil soaked like it, it'd take a miracle to get it white. Oh, and I tell you, it's going to take a miracle of grace to make our souls white. It is. A miracle of God's grace. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. It's a miraculous event. It is. And it's all of grace. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. We shall be saved. All right, number three. The reason for grace. The reason for grace. Well, we believe that there is one reason and one reason only for grace. There is. And that is Christ and Him crucified. That's it. There's no other reason for grace. No other reason. Christ is the channel by which all grace flows through. And it flows right to His people. It does. He is the channel by which grace flows. Oh my, Christ and Him crucified. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ became a man. He became a man. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. He became a man. He who was set up in heaven, God of all creation, became man. We talked about it this morning there in John 1. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Do we understand what that means? That God of all creation became flesh and came down here to this cesspool. He did that. He did it for a reason. And that's to redeem His people. He did. Oh, I tell you what. God said He said, I will in no wise clear the guilty. That's what he said. He said, I will in no wise clear the guilty. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. How is God going to be just and a justifier? How's that going to happen? Christ and Him crucified. Christ and Him crucified. Christ went to the cross of Calvary. He bore the sins of His people. He took upon Himself that oil that was dripping off that sheet. He took upon Himself that. And He went to the cross of Calvary and He took that to the grave with Him. He did. And when He went to the grave, I went to the grave. And when He was buried in that ground, I was buried. And when He was brought up out of that grave, I came with Him. Clean. That sheet, white as snow. It's so white because I stand in Christ. I stand in Him. That's it. There's no other reason. What's baptism got to do with that? Only the fact that we're baptized in Christ. Has nothing to do with that. It doesn't. No, what is good works and good marriage and all these things, free will? What's that got to do with this? Nothing. Christ is all. He is all. And when we come out of that grave with Him, we are perfect. We are in Christ. Oh my. That's it. Listen, all the blood on Jewish altars. Every speck of blood that was shed in the Old Testament days. You know, if you were to look at that and you just... I mean, if you were to look at this in the world, the light of the world, you say that was just animal cruelty is what it was. Call the Humane Society, right? Every drop of blood that was shed on Jewish altars was a picture and a type and a shadow of that blood that would be shed on Calvary's cross. Every bit of it. Not one ounce of that blood that was shed on those altars, Jewish altars, could put away one sin. It couldn't. But His did. His did. His was an atoning blood. Oh, it was an atoning blood. It atoned for the sins of His people. Oh my, what a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior we have. All right, number four. The effect of grace. The effect of grace. And we talked a lot about this morning too. The pastor talked a lot about this. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. We shall be saved. The effect of grace. What does grace do? What does grace do? We do not believe. Now listen. There are a lot of people out here in this world that believe that salvation is just a fire insurance policy. That's all it is. It is. We believe on Christ, and therefore we're not going to hell. That's what we believe salvation is. That's not what we believe salvation is. It isn't. That's part of it. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ will keep you from hell. It will. But there's much, much more involved in it than just that. There is. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. The effect of grace. Now I want you to listen to this. I'm going to read this chapter, and we're going to go through it here just a little bit, and I want you to see the effect of grace, okay? From beginning to end. It says in verse 1, it says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." There we see our need, don't we? There we see the necessity of grace, that we were dead. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and He quickened us. He quickened us. There's grace. There's grace, okay? Verse 2, "Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world," you and me both, all of us, we all did this, "according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." That was all of us. That was all of us before grace paid us a visit. That was us. All right? And why were we by nature the children of wrath? Why? Well, it's because we were children of the devil. That's what we were. We were. Oh, but watch this. Verse 4. It says, "But God." But God, who is rich in mercy, there's that fountain of grace we talked about at the first. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins. There we are again. There we are. The necessity of grace in our death and in our vileness. When we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. There's the reason for grace. There He is. The reason for grace. Quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace, listen to verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Oh, marvelous grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now listen to verse 10. This part of this salvation. All right. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Now look at verse 10. For we are His workmanship. All right. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, why are we going to perform good works? Why? Well, we're His workmanship. We're His workmanship. That's what we're talking about. That's what salvation is. We're His workmanship. We're His people. We are. He's going to work in us. He will. That's what this lordship we were talking about earlier. Christ just can't be your Savior and not your Lord. That's not going to work. No. No, we're going to serve Him. We're going to serve Him. We are. For we are His workmanship. You know, when we say, no, that's not that. No, we can just, He can just be our Savior, not our Lord. We're denying the power that is in grace. That's what we're really doing. We're denying that. We're saying there's really no power in grace. And that's what we're saying if we say we made the decision to follow Him in the first place. We're saying that the power belonged to us. Not in grace. No, the power is in the grace of God. The power is in the effectual blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the power is. All right. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, He knows all things. He knows all things, but why? Because He ordained them. He ordained them. Verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by the hands. Now He's going back here to these, the Jews and the Gentiles. He's talking about now you're going to be called uncircumcision by the ones that are circumcised. And there's a lot of people out here in this world that are going to say, oh, you believe in grace, then, you know, you don't believe in this and this and something else. You know, you're not as good as this person over here because they're doing this and this and this and this. No, we believe. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. That's what we believe. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. It's all in Christ. It's all in Him. For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Oh, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all of grace. It's all of grace. We have found peace, though, with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Flesh has been crucified, hasn't it? It has. We are crucified in Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not Christ, not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Verse 17, and He came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now the effect of grace, all right? We've talked about God the Father. We've talked about us, the necessity of grace, the fact that we're totally depraved.
We talk about the reason for grace, the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross of Calvary for sinners, and the effect of grace. What is that? But the working of the Holy Spirit in the lives of His people. It is. We must not forget that. We must not forget that. Oh, what a work the Spirit of the Lord does in the hearts of His people. Now, therefore, listen to this. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Oh, may we take that to heart. May we take that verse to heart. We're no more strangers and foreigners. Uh-uh. No, we're not. We're fellow citizens with the saints through the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at verse 20. And are built. Now go back to the verses that our pastor read this morning, talking about that house that's built on a firm foundation. Listen to this. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And what's that foundation? Jesus Christ Himself being the first cornerstone. This is salvation. Being built upon that rock. And you're built upon that rock because of grace. If you're in Him, it's because of grace. Verse 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. There's no growth without the Spirit. There's no growth. There isn't. No, it's by grace. Great, we are saved by grace and we're going to grow by grace. We will. But there will be evidence. There will be evidence. Verse 22. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. All right. Well, I want all of us to remember these things. And I tried to preach short. I know these second services are hard. But let's remember these things. The fountain of grace. Let's remember God. Let's remember who we serve, who the God of Scripture is. May we remember that. The necessity of grace. Let's remember where we were found. The total depravity of man. The need of the gospel. Oh, there's a great need for the gospel. The need for grace. Oh, it's abundant. Verse number 3, the reason of grace. The Lord Jesus Christ. Christ and Him crucified. It's the message of the gospel. That's the good news of the gospel. And the effect of grace. What the Holy Spirit comes and does in the lives of His people. Teaching them and causing them to live for Him. If it wasn't for Christ in us, there would be no hope. We talked about that earlier too. There'd be no hope. He is our hope. He is all. He is all. All right. The Lord bless the message.